News. This is a special report on the collapse of the Baltimore Bridge. I'm Michelle Franzen. Search and rescue efforts continue for six people unaccounted for 12 hours after the cargo ship slammed into a support pylon of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing the metal span to collapse. President Biden speaking at the White House says federal aid is on the way and that so far no indication of foul play.
Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here.
The ship sent out a mayday before it struck, and authorities say it also appears the ship may have lost power at some point. ABC's Terry Moran is near the scene.
Synergy Marine Corp is the company that owns that ship, the Dolly. They have reported that all of their crew members and pilots on board that ship are safe, but rescue efforts continue for those lost when that bridge went down.
The collapse also impacting shipping. No ships allowed in and out of the port for now. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 501c4 nonprofits are driving record spending by anonymous political donors across the country. That's according to a new study from the group Open Secrets.
In some states, you can actually have 501c4 dart money groups or shell companies contribute directly to candidates' campaigns, which is something that's not allowed at the federal level. They're only allowed to spend in support of the candidate.
Study author Anna Masolia says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads. Cheating on your spouse is technically a felony in Wisconsin, which can land you in jail for 3 months and up to $10,000 in fines. Authorities rarely pursue charges, but there's a move to take the law off the books in other states like New York. Lawmakers there say prosecutors should not dig into what consenting adults do behind closed doors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, the Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. An environmental project for Lake Onalaska picked up county funding last night. La Crosse County approved $50,000 to dredge the lake. Officials overseeing projects for the lake said that sediment deposits were building up, making it harder for fish to find shelter or for boats to get around. The total cost of dredging Lake Onalaska is expected to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Local fundraising is supplementing the county's funding. A Packers-themed bar in downtown La Crosse is scheduled for demolition. Glory Days will be torn down in a couple of weeks. The green and gold building was damaged almost 2 years ago by a fire that destroyed the building next to it. After no bids were sent to the city's Public Works Committee, a private contractor applied to knock down the building. Demolition is scheduled for April 8th. Today, temperatures will fall as snow chances increase. Less than an inch of snow is expected across most of the Cooley region. It'll be gusty today with winds getting as high as 25 miles per hour. It'll be sunny the next couple of days and temperatures will warm up to the mid-50s by the end of the week.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny, my dad makes me laugh, my wife makes me laugh, Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the LA Lakers at Fiserv Forum. LeBron James not expected to play due to a sore ankle. I asked the Bucks' Damian Lillard, who does he expect to guard him tonight?
We talked about it, but I never really worry about it too much since I've been on this team because we got so many weapons. I know that I can play the game honest in the right way and we'll have a chance to win regardless.
College basketball, the Badgers women's team with a 67-62 victory over Southern Indiana in the WNIT. They'll host Illinois State Thursday night. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up spring training with a game against the Rockies before heading to New York for the season opener Thursday against the Mets. What kind of a team should fans expect this year? Manager Pat Murphy.
We're going to play hard, that's for sure. It's a super bunch of guys that I think the fans will fall in love with and compete. And careful, because they might just believe themselves right into contention.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. A wintry mix of rain and snow is flipping over to all snow as temperatures are falling below freezing by 4 o'clock. Battling breezy winds, around a half an inch of snow accumulation is possible, not to mention a flash freeze of anything that's wet. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Sommers, our outstanding producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history.
You're not woke unless and until you know history. Good to be back with you, Todd.
Our old friend Matt Flynn back on the show. And fantastic to have him along here on a Tuesday. Matt, thanks so much for stopping in and joining us here on Lots to Get To, Lots of Calls. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We're going to ask Matt his opinions on what's happening in the Supreme Court right now, or in the court system, I should say, regarding the former President Trump. But before we do, Matt, we're into a little contest here. Mr. Zomer, it's time once again for Ride into Spring.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose.
This could become a habit.
Opportunity knocks once, let's reach out and grab it.
Yeah.
Together we'll nab it.
We'll hitchhike, bus, or yellow cabin.
Moving right along.
Welcome once again to Ride into Spring. Now, here's the deal, Matt. We're giving away, I know you were up at the holiday party at Wisconsin Dells at Chula Vista. Beautiful place, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of fun up there. Gorgeous, gorgeous setting. It really is, Todd.
Yeah. The golf courses are up there. You got the indoor water parks. I know you and your lovely wife and Phil and I were at their great buffet brunch the next morning. Great folks up there at Chula Vista. So here is your chance, and we're doing this once an hour. We're giving away an expense-paid overnight trip to Chula Vista once an hour. But first of all, you have to download the Civic Media app. You can only play this via the Civic Media app. So you go to your app store, you download it, takes less than a minute, it's free. Then you open the app, the Civic Media app. Find your station. If you don't have a station, pick one of our fine stations. I like WRCE in Richland Center, but you do you. Pick one of the stations. You'll see the red play button. Right above that is the text icon or button. Hit that once for text. And then I'm going to tell you the secret word this hour. And if you win, you could A, win the overnight prize or the overnight getaway to Chula Vista this hour. But you'll also be entered in. Hang on to your great hair, Matt. By the way, I'm internally jealous of Matt Flynn's hair. And it's real. Unlike Trump's, yours is real. Not only are we going to give away the overnight stay to Chula Vista this hour, our listeners will also be entered in, those who play, into our grand prize, which includes one of a couple, two bikes, a pair of new bikes. How about that? Great bikes. Also, an outdoor patio set, and a three-way blender. So that's...
It's
in no apparent order.
It's a 3-in-1 blender.
Oh, 3-in-1 blender. I think that's what got Trump into trouble in the Stormy Daniels case, was a 3-way blender. We can get a legal opinion on that from Flynn, but that may have had something to do with it. Anyway, you can in all seriousness win a 3-in-1 blender and the patio furniture. That's part of the grand prize along with the two bikes. But this hour, you can also win this overnight stay. So here it is. Go to your Civic Media app, choose your station, hit text, and then text us the following word. The 1 o'clock secret word is pool. P-O-O-L. Pool is the secret word for this hour. Little password music. Now, Matt Flynn grew up without a TV until he was 20. Did you ever watch Password later on in life?
No, and I didn't have a pool table either, so I'm probably not going to win this one.
Probably not. Well, yeah, exactly. But the secret password is pool. Text it right now to the Civic Media app, pool, P-O-O-L, and you too could win an overnight stay this hour. You can enter once an hour, all day long, once an hour, P-O-O-L, pool, the password in the Ride into Spring trivia this hour. And the next hour at 3 o'clock during the Maggie Dawn show, they'll have another word
for it. Yes, and just to clarify, I do see at least one person texted tool as in like a hammer.
Pool.
It is P as in Peter, P-O-O-L, a swimming pool.
Not salt, Peter, just Peter. There you go. P-O-O-L, absolutely. My old friend Ray Schrader, we used to do at WRCO, we used to do, and God rest his soul, he's no longer here, but we used to read something called Community Calendar. Back in old time radio, people like the Lutheran Church would say, well, we're having a Ludifest dinner, yeah, you know, and send that in there.
Right.
And one time, Ray, just for the hell of it, he said, there's going to be a Peter pulling contest at St. Taffy's. Check that. That's a Taffy pulling contest at St. Peter's. just to see if anybody was listening. Anyway, we have our old friend Matt Flynn back here. He has this great new book called The Court of Last Resort. The Court of Last Resort is a great book. Again, Matt, just remind people the synopsis of this book and why you wrote it.
Yeah, the synopsis of the book is this. It's based on experiences I had as a law clerk to the Chief Judge Thomas Fairchild in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. And it's legally based, but basically the plot is that the judge in this case demands perfect justice. He's a retired Marine commando, and when he doesn't get perfect justice, he goes out at night and takes care of business. The problem is he thinks at the end it goes badly for him. He thinks he's God. It turns out he's not God. There are a lot of social issues in it, a lot of political issues, military and social justice issues, and it's just a good thrill. It's selling very well. Very proud of it. It's probably the favorite novel I've written. So thank you for letting me plug it, Todd. Yeah. The Court of Last Resort by Matt Flynn.
You can buy it wherever you purchase your books. Matt, one of the things I always appreciate you as an attorney the most is your ability to, was in front of a federal judge one time. I'm not an attorney, but worked for one. And this federal judge, Judge Weissman, was from Tennessee and was on loan to the Florida court system. And he once told my friend who is the attorney, when he wanted to simplify the language for the jury, Judge Weissman looked at him and he said, "You want to put it down there where the chickens could get at it. Is that it, Mr. Gold?" All right.
Some of those southern judges, you know, I've tried cases in southern states. Some of those southern judges, you know, it's right out of Faulkner.
Really, it is. Before they brought the jury in, he had the attorneys there, and this is a direct quote. He said, "Now, y'all, we're going to have a good trial, we're going to have a fair trial, but we're going to have a speedy trial, because I got me a hound dog back in Tennessee that missing me something fierce."
And the murder defendant looked real pleased.
It was a fairly small case, but yeah. Another you'll appreciate this. During voir dire, which is when they kind of sort out the jury, Matt can tell you, but it brings the jury in, or the pool, and Judge Weissman looks at the jury and says, "Now, y'all, we're going to do something called voir dire. It just means tell the truth."
He should write a book. I mean, like, right? Irma Bombeck. I mean, he should write his own book of aphorisms.
But what I love about Matt Flynn is he's able to put it down here where the chickens can get at it. So tell us about these court cases, Matt, because they're making a lot of headlines. One, of course, is the Stormy Daniels hush money case, which is essentially using political money to pay private debts, basically pay off a porn star. And the other one is at this big bond over $4 million, which this week, on the appeal, they're taking it down to $175. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, let's start with the bond. And a lot of people have criticized the Court of Appeals for it. I do not join in that criticism for the following reasons. And by the way, everybody out there, you've heard the word Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. In almost every other state, the highest court is called the Supreme Court. So it's the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Illinois Supreme Court. Out of a quirk of nomenclature in New York, the highest court, their Supreme Court, is called the Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. So this is the big kahuna in New York. And one of the other anomalies in New York is that one of the lowest trial courts is called the Supreme Court. So it's inverted.
Yeah.
But in the Court of Appeals came down, they said, no, we're not going to impose a $464 million bond requirement. We're going to impose $175 million and you get 10 more days to do it. And everybody said, oh, that's a victory for Trump. No, it's not a victory for Trump. Consider the following. Trump has 500 entities, trusts, LLCs, that are interlocking owners of everything. He doesn't look like he owns anything. Mm-hmm. If Letitia James went in and tried to take any of his real estate, there'd be 2 years of litigation about who controlled that trust, who controlled that LLC. When I was in practice, I tried a case in Arizona against a bad guy, and he had incorporated every room in his house.
Wow.
Separately.
Oh, my God.
So the living room was one LLC, the kitchen, the bathroom. So if you went after any of his assets, you had five other lawsuits with interlocking trusts. So people out there who think, oh, she can just grab Trump Tower.
Right.
No, she can't. Number one. Number two, she can grab cash. But if you grab cash, you're grabbing payroll of a lot of people who are working there. And what this court did was, I think, very smart. $175 million ain't chump change. No. I mean, it ain't chump change. And he says he thinks he can get it. I'm very afraid that he's looking at Russians, he's looking at Saudis and all that. But having said that, he says he can come up with it. That's cash on the barrel. Because even if it's a bond from Chubb or one of these people, they're not stupid. They demanded cash. And this is a way of getting cash without busting a payroll and 2 years of litigation over real estate. So the other thing, the final thing I'll say on that, yeah. I deeply am suspicious that that Court of Appeals has looked at the case and may reduce the amount of the judgment.
Even further.
Not from the 175, of the 464 or whatever it was, they're going to say, well, yes, but. And so this is one way of signaling that. That's my instinct as a litigator. I may be wrong, but that is a possibility.
I think it's interesting. We're going to come back and talk about the other one on the other side, Matt. But one more point on this one. To your point you made earlier, that part of a lot of Trump's political appeal to particular rural people in Wisconsin, other places, is, look, we don't like what he says, but you know, he's a hell of a business guy. And well, this is proving that he really isn't, right? This is proving that was all a facade.
Bingo. Absolutely right. He's not a businessman, and he got a lot of his money by just licensing his name, the Trump name and all that. He doesn't even own 40 Wall Street. He owns the right to rent it, and it's all tied up in trusts and LLCs. Letitia James would be running into many years of litigation if she tried to seize that stuff right now.
One more court case on the other side. Also, take your phone calls quickly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. He's Flynn. He's Zomers. I'm Allball, back on Civic Media after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes, get gone, get a rhythm.
One way to beat the blues? Hang out with Matt Flynn for a little while. Buy his book, by the way. Matt Flynn, The Court of Last Resort. A great read right here. Matt Flynn joins us, so we're always glad to have him along with us. And we'll see, Matt. Maybe make this a semi-regular thing.
Yeah, it's always good to be there, Todd. I like your, love your show.
Always good to have you here, Matt. If you want to ask Matt Flynn a question, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'd love to have you along. Up on the text line, Andrew from Maine says, does Mr. Flynn want to share his thoughts on the referendum questions on next week's Wisconsin primary? Matt.
Yeah, I would. And I'm going to say it at two levels. One of them sounds snarky, not intended that way, but any referendum that's drafted by a gerrymandered Wisconsin legislature is suspect. I would vote no on both, but I'll give you the actual reasons for it. One of them is, back in one of the last elections, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Meta, gave grants, not just in Wisconsin, around the country, to places that were underfunded by gerrymandered legislatures so they could, you know, buy sanitizers, you know, for COVID and things of that nature. There was no impropriety in it. It's not unlawful. The Republicans drafted something saying you can't use private grants, didn't say why, and they did it as a constitutional amendment because that way Evers couldn't veto it, can't veto a constitutional amendment. I would strongly encourage everybody to vote against that and the other one as well. It's not intended in good faith. There was no impropriety. The solution for the legislature is to fund elections.
Right.
Give enough money for poll workers. Stop threatening to kill them. I mean, the bar is low. It's a very small request. Don't threaten to kill them and fund them. If you're not going to fund them, it is appropriate, in my view, to have grants do it. So I would say that one. And the other one is it can only be somebody that it looks like they're authorized to do it, of course. But that's already in the law. By doing this, be very wary about any constitutional amendment. It should be done with the greatest reluctance. And this one has not been presented in good faith. Vote against them.
I agree with you, Matt. My rule is if I can't read it as a non-lawyer and understand it, I'm voting no.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people can't. Over in Milwaukee last night, Channel 12, the ABC affiliate, interviewed people on the streets. And these were fairly intelligent people. I don't know what this thing means. Right. If you don't know what it means, vote no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speed round here. A couple of calls coming in, Matt. Before we do, the speed round answer on the Stormy Daniels hush money case. What do you make of that right now in Trump world?
Yeah, two things. One is he's going to trial on that on April 15th. It's jury selection. It's going to take a while. He'll sit there menacing and glaring at the jury and all that kind of thing. There'll be a lot of issues like, do you disclose the names of the juries to him and all that kind of stuff. When it goes, what it is this is something that benefited his campaign and didn't report it. It's fairly straightforward. There aren't a lot of factual issues, and their ignorance of the law is no excuse. And he wasn't ignorant. And right. He also had Cohen, you know, a lawyer and so on. So I think it's a perfectly appropriate case. And I think the judge showed great restraint, gave him another 30 days to look at documents. And the horses are off on April 15th.
And just a reminder for our listeners, Matt, if he's entitled to a due process, but if he were found and convicted guilty in that, he could still be the nominee and still stand for election.
He could, but this would be very, very bizarre. They would have set a sentencing. Let's say the verdict came in May sometime. They'd set a sentencing for 30 days later. you're bumping up a month short of the Republican convention, for Pete's sake. And then the judge says, all right, 18 months in jail. Okay, when do you report? Well, I like the report 5 years from now after I serve. Well, no, you can't. It would give you 30 days. He'd have to report during the convention in Milwaukee and be led in an orange jumpsuit. It's bizarre. Why are people voting for this guy?
I'm telling you, it is not out of the realm of possibilities, in my opinion, that the Republican nominee will give his nomination acceptance speech under house arrest at Mar-a-Lago.
That's not far-fetched.
No.
That's not far-fetched.
Because I don't think the judge is going to put him in jail, quote unquote. I think it's going to be an ankle bracelet at Mar-a-Lago.
It could be, but if you or I, you'd get at least 14 months.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, but we're not him, right? You have real hair and no fake tan. Let's go quickly, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling. What do you got for Matt?
You know, I guess for the constitutional amendments, one of the things that concerns me is I don't think the exact constitutional language was actually in the referendum. And in my opinion, should have been a qualification for that to appear in the ballot, because how can we know what they're actually going to put in the constitutional amendment unless we actually see it? You know, I think we've just seen the proposal, well, we're going to write a constitutional amendment to do this, but we did not see the exact constitutional language.
Right. If I recall from reading it, it says, should amendment such and such be created, which prohibits this, as opposed to, should we do this exact language?
Matt?
Yeah, those are excellent points, Mr. Zimers and Mark. And I would add this, two things. One, everybody out there, my strong recommendation is vote no on these referenda. But number two, Mark, by pointing that out, you've pointed out the next lawsuit. Because if this thing passes, and it could pass, if it does pass, there will be a lawsuit. And the argument that you just propounded is one, but not the only one of the arguments against it.
Matt Flynn, I've left you all of 2 minutes. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., reported by the New York Times, choosing Nicole Shanahan, not Aaron Rodgers, as his vice president. What do you make of it?
Well, it's absurd. Nicole Shanahan is a wealthy woman who's given him money. She has no business being in politics, neither does he. You know, I am a strong Kennedy guy. I was Ted Kennedy's Milwaukee County chairman in 1980 when Les Aspin was a state chairman. And I've met the sisters, and I think very highly of them. This guy's a traitor to his own family, and I'm going to leave you with this thing, and it chills me. When Sirhan was up for parole again, he should have been executed. Mm. He was sentenced to death by assassinating Bobby Kennedy. They commuted it. When he was up, he denied doing it. Then he said, well, he'd do it again. I mean, and this kind of thing. This guy, Robert Kennedy Jr., went to that board and argued that he should be given parole. Wow. Now, a matter of Greek tragedy, if somebody kills your father, you don't argue that he should get parole. In Greek tragedy, you'd kill him. But I mean, this is wrong. This guy is, something's wrong upstairs with this guy. Do not vote for Robert Kennedy Jr.
And because a vote for any third party, Matt, is tantamount to a vote for Trump in this election.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you vote no labels, you vote, you know, non-committed, you vote this, that is a vote for Donald Trump.
The book by Matt Flynn is called The Court of Last Resort. The Court of Last Resort. You can buy it wherever books are sold. Matt, it's so good to have you here in person. Thank you for taking the time. And let's do it again, my friend.
Yeah, good to see you, Todd. Look forward to doing it again with you.
Absolutely. Thank you. My pleasure. Coming up next on the program, we have our other fine friend. He is Brian Van Hooker, senior feature writer at crack.com on the funniest moments of Seinfeld. Were you a Seinfeld fan, Matt?
Yeah, big Seinfeld fan.
Were you really?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did, because we finally had a TV when I turned 50.
Matt was saying earlier he didn't have a TV until he was 21. That's why it's such a joy.
My parents bought it. I was out of the house, so I was about to join the Navy.
But... right. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out what Brian Van Hooker's funniest moments are from Seinfeld after this. Again, our many thanks to the fine Matthew J. Flynn. The book is called The Court of Last Resort. And remember, you're not woke.
You're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke, listen, until you know history. And fascism creeps in on little cat's feet.
That's what we're looking for each and every time. Thank you, Matt Flynn. Stay tuned. Brian Van Hooker is next on the Todd Almost Show on Civic Media.
When you get the blues.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show 1 week until the Wisconsin primary. And a wake-up call. Devil's Advocates across the state, 4 to 6.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in western Wisconsin are getting to the bottom of why a man from Texas died while cleaning a municipal water tank in Blair Saturday afternoon. He was wearing scuba gear but may have become hypothermic. Co-workers tried pulling him out, but he got stuck and died. Wisconsin's election mythbusters are at it again tonight, this time in West Bend. Kathy Bernier of Keep Our Republic says election skeptics are often surprised when they see how hard it really would be to fix an election.
The care that the election officials take in preparing for the election and after the election and all of the audits and the canvasses that take place, they're very surprised.
Bernier tells WYSN-TV's Upfront she hopes her work will ensure no accusations or drama in Wisconsin after November's votes are counted. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, the Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Governor Tony Evers signed Senate Bill 875 into law today in La Crosse. The new law will no longer make it a crime to have or use xylazine testing strips. The wording of the new law removes xylazine testing materials from criminal or civil liability, meaning the testing strips can be possessed, given, or used without any consequences and will no longer be considered drug paraphernalia. It's one of two bills being signed today by the governor. A construction project is underway to add lanes to Highway 14 in Westby. The project will widen North Main Street and also add a roundabout at its intersection with Main Street. The cost of the project is $11.8 million, which was approved by the DOT and Governor Tony Evers. Highway 14 will stay open with some detours, and construction will last until next summer. Today, cloudy and windy with chances at snow showers. Accumulation is expected to be under 1 inch in the Cooley region. The rest of the week, sunny and warming up towards the mid-50s by Friday. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Little House on the Prairie fans will love this. Melissa Gilbert said in a recent interview that instead of accepting payment for hosting the Rose Bowl parade, show creator and co-star Michael Landon would use that money to buy gifts for the cast of his show. While reminiscing about Little House as the show's 50th anniversary nears, Gilbert talked about her special bond with Landon since her own father passed away when she was 11. Michael Landon died in 1991 at the age of 54 from cancer. Pamela Anderson's former husband and co-star of the stolen Pam and Tommy home video, Tommy Lee, apparently flipped out over seeing her kiss another guy on the set of Baywatch. Do you believe on a show where people are totally hot and barely wearing clothes at all, they wrote a kiss into a scene? You'd think he might have seen that coming. Instead, he trashed her trailer. That Tommy Lee is incorrigible. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A wintry mix of rain and snow is flipping over to all snow as temperatures are falling below freezing by 4 o'clock. Battling breezy winds, around a half an inch of snow accumulation is possible, not to mention a flash freeze of anything that's wet. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
wonder why people have umbrellas. They open them inside. I don't know, something like that. Welcome back to the show. It's Todd Allball's show at the Civic Media. Now Zomers has incorporated a laugh track into the show. Very good.
Well, it seemed appropriate.
It seemed appropriate. 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Our next guest is the one and only. He is back. He's crazy enough to come back on the program, and we appreciate it so very much. He is the senior feature writer at Crack.com, Brian Van Hooker. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
It's always, always great to have you here. Thank you so very much for taking the time to sit down with us a little bit and chat again. The subject this time around, 100 funniest moments of Seinfeld, one of my personal all-time favorite television programs.
Same here. Also one of my favorites.
Personally, your favorite. You're not just saying that because Crack told you you had to do this.
No, it's Seinfeld, Cheers, Muppet Show, maybe one or two others, but that's Seinfeld is a favorite show for me for a very long time.
And it's still the beauty is that it's still on broadcast television at late night, you know, after 10:30 or 11:30, whatever at night, you can still catch it or other places as well. And I think one of the great hallmarks, and I've said this to you before, I just appreciate and love good writing. I don't care whether it's for a television show or a movie or a book or whatever. I just appreciate good writing. And the fact that I can still sit here 30 plus years later and watch this and laugh nearly as hard as I did when I first saw it, I think that's the element that it stands the test of time. What say you?
Absolutely. Like, I think that the writing in the show is the reason why it's held up so well and the reason why there are still Seinfeld. I mean, it's still on television. It's still on streaming. And there's Seinfeld board games and merchandise and the Funko Pops and everything else in the world. I think all of that's because, I mean, there's incredible performers, no doubt, but the writing is spectacular on that show.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Larry David, of course, was the co-creator along with Jerry Seinfeld on it. And Larry David wrote some of the episodes, right?
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch. Yeah. More than anybody.
Yeah, so it comes from the brilliant mind of Larry David as well as Jerry Seinfeld. So, okay, Brian Van Hooker, let's get right into this. Number 100, and again, these are not in any specific chronological order, but I do have to take umbrage with this one being 100 because it's one of my favorite all-time ones. The opening scene of The Contest, set it up, Brian.
So, this is... I mean, The Contest is probably the single most important episode of Seinfeld. It's the episode that kind of made them a show that everybody was talking about, and the show that kind of caught everybody's attention. So the opening scene is when George admits that his mother caught him pleasing himself.
Self-gratification.
Yeah. And then it turns into them deciding to hold a contest where who could hold out the longest without doing that.
All right. Here's a little bit of, we'll have time to play the whole thing. We'll probably get into trouble if we play the whole thing, but we'll play a little bit. This is the opening scene of the episode called The Contest from Seinfeld.
Hey, Georgie.
Hi.
Hi.
What's the matter?
My mother caught me.
Caught you doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean?
She caught you? Where?
I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started leaping through.
Glamour?
So one thing led to another.
So what did she do?
First she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was gonna faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
Right. That's the opening scene of the episode called The Contest. And again, Brian, one of the brilliant parts about this is they never use the main gratuitous words. They just describe this around the edges, but everybody knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's brilliant. The entire episode. Yeah. Not just the scene. The entire episode refrained from using it.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be clear, the reason why this is the number 100 is I very specifically made a point in the introduction that not only is this not in order from 100 to 1, I don't even know if it's the 100 greatest moments. It was the way this article was put together was I've interviewed a lot of Seinfeld people over the past, you know, 5 years, a lot of writers, a few actors. So the way this was put together was let's reach out to, I think it was like 6 to 8 writers, a handful of actors. So it was Danny Woodburn, John O'Hurley, Larry Thomas, who played the Soup Nazi, and oh my gosh, who plays Jackie Chiles? Phil Morris.
Yeah.
So them, and to get just, hey, give me a handful of moments that you think are really special from the show. So it's not, I didn't want a definitive list because A, I think it would be impossible to do. And I also don't think my opinion of this is number one, this is number two is that interesting. I just wanted a cool collection of scenes as cited by some people who worked on the show, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I'm glad you clarified because I think that's really interesting, right? Because when you work on something, I don't care whether it's a painter, whether it's a writer, whether it's an actor, if you're a creator and you create something, your favorite pieces of whatever that you've created might be very different from what the consuming audience thinks, whether it's someone who has appreciated a painting or a TV show. It's always interesting, right? What the artist thinks is their best work.
Yeah. And some writers were inclined to like speak to the scenes that they could talk about like their own scenes. Mm. So they could speak to the behind the scenes part of it. Other writers didn't want to toot their own horns and spoke to the other ones. So it was very much a hodgepodge of scenes, but there were 100 pretty great scenes. So, and I also have reached out to a couple of Seinfeld super fans, like the guys there. This is a podcast called The Place to Be. There's a couple of guys there who helped us a lot with articles. So we had a few Seinfeld super fans chime in for, oh, hey, here's a great moment. Mm-hmm. And also I looked up what's Jerry's favorite moment, what's Jason's favorite moment, to include those as well. So awesome. It was not meant to be definitive. It was just meant, hey, here's 100 great moments.
I appreciate that clarification. And yes, Andrew in Maine, I think watching on Facebook or YouTube there, had a comment and he asked the question, so the numbers are for reference only, like page numbers, not ranking. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, correct. There's no ranking. I did make a point to make one. So there was one moment cited by three or four different writers. So I made that number one just because I was like, oh, well, something's got to go there. Sure. Might as well use this. but no, it is simply, hey, here's 100 moments, not here's the 99th best moment.
Well, speaking of 99, let's go to that one. It's called The Apocalypse Now Parody in The Chicken Roaster. Explain, Mr. Van Hooker.
I think it's a whole season of Seinfeld. Elaine's boss, Jay Peterman, played by John O'Hurley, who's a very funny man, goes missing, and Elaine's put in charge of the company. And then at some point, she seeks him out and finds him in this cave in Myanmar or Burma. I don't know which one it actually is.
It goes by, yeah, that's the funny part, is they keep going back and forth saying, well, you might know it as. Yeah.
And it's a straight parody of Apocalypse Now. So it's O'Hurley doing that to a T, that scene from that movie. So that's the
comment. All right, so here we have a little setup, or that's the setup, and we have a little clip now. Here is the scene from the Apocalypse Now parody in an episode of Seinfeld called The Chicken Roaster.
Here. Kneel here.
What?
Kneel.
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 Kneel. Elaine.
Mr. Peterman.
Jabba. Magalaban Jabba. Anagala Hunga.
You speak Burmese?
No, Elaine. That was gibberish.
All right, that's good. I mean, part of it's visual, of course, in seeing it. But I mean, I agree. John O'Hurley, to me, other than the main four characters, he may be my fifth favorite character of the whole show.
I mean, that man, I know him personally. He's a heck of a nice guy. And on that show, his character is so funny and so memorable. I mean, there's a lot of very funny bosses in the show. Steinbrenner, of course. I also think Mr. Krueger is a little underrated, frankly, mm-hmm. which is George's last boss, just because he's such a like this empty-headed guy. But John O'Hurley as J. Peterman is just this such a funny character and so like clipped and precise, and he's just perfectly written. I love that character so much.
Yeah, me too. A big fan. Where do you want to go next? So we're talking with Brian Van Hooker. He is the senior feature writer for Cracked.com. You can find his article going through all 100 episodes at Cracked.com. Brian, where do you want to go next?
I mean, I think number 76 is quite good.
All right, number 76. Moving right along, as they say. I'm zipping up to that one. All right, number 76. What's that? Was that wrong from the red dot? Go ahead.
So I chose this one. So most of these, I would say 93 of them, give or take, are all original reporting that I did getting from the various writers and actors. Mm. But I also wanted to include a handful from, you know, Larry's favorite, Jerry's favorite, et cetera, et cetera. Jason Alexander's favorite moment maybe is also my favorite moment, which is it's the scene where George has been with the cleaning lady on his desk in when he's working at Pendant Publishing. And there's a scene right after that where he gets confronted about it. And it's just this amazing delivery where you could see the cogs turning in George's head, where he thinks, what lie can I tell about this? And he decides not to lie at all, but to simply say, was that wrong? Should I not have done that? And it's just this beautiful performance. And Jason Alexander has cited it as like maybe the key moment for George in telling you everything you need to know about the character and what a like conniving liar he is. So that scene is particularly good.
Here is Jason Alexander as George Costanza in Seinfeld.
I'm going to get right to the point. It's come to my attention that you and the cleaning woman have engaged in sexual intercourse on the desk in your office. Is that correct? Who said that? She did. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon. You know, because I've worked in a lot of offices, and I tell you, people do that all the time. You're fired. I didn't have to say it like that.
Jason Alexander as George Costanza in the one of the 100 I'm going to say kind of best episodes of Seinfeld, according to the research and writings of Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com. That again, so much of that, Brian, is in the delivery, right?
Oh, it's all that. It's so much. I mean, there's a visual component to it too. It's lost, but like it's so much of just the thinking. The pauses make it too, where it's. What are my options here? I'm going to go with this one. There's so much about that scene that's just a masterful performance, as well as being crazy good writing, of course.
Moving on, next favorite scene, or according to this article on Cracked.com, Brian Van Hooker, where are we going to go next?
I was going to jump to 56.
All right, let's go to 56. Of course, you can find this entire article at Cracked.com and encourage you to check it out, because, again, great memories. And I don't care whether you're a television fan or not. I think probably most people have seen Seinfeld at one time or another. Familiar with Jerry Seinfeld, of course, and who has actually been to Madison. And I know you've talked to a lot of these actors over the years. I'm not sure if you ever encountered this, but I know Jerry Seinfeld has said he stopped touring a lot, particularly to college campuses, because it's so difficult. We're going to get the answer on the other side. We're going to talk with Brian Van Hooker. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle.
WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Tylenol Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is the Maggie Dawn Show right here across these airwaves. Do not miss it. Maggie has a great guest host sitting in today. Don't miss it. The Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4. And they will have another chance for you to win in our Ride into Spring Trivia Contest in the 3 o'clock hour. So be listening to them again. Here's your final chance to win this hour. And this is the great thing. We're giving away an overnight trip to Chula Vista every hour that we play this game. So many chances to win. You can enter it once an hour. So go to your Civic Media app right now. Open it up. Select a station or your favorite station. And then hit text, the text button on the Civic Media app, and type in the word pool. P as in Paul, O-O-L. Again, the word pool. Right now on the Civic Media app to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, the grand prize of two bikes, and also another grand prize of a patio, outdoor patio lawn furniture set, and a three-way blender. So I mean, a three-in-one blender, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's correct. Three-in-one blender.
It's an entirely different show. It was a three-way blender. But your chances to win right here. So go to your Civic Media app, go to your favorite store or favorite station, go to the text button and text in the word pool, P-O-O-L. P as in Paul, O-O-L, the word pool right now. Brian Van Hooker, you could win. You're not an employee of the station. You could win.
Am I eligible? Spell the word pool. I'm perfect for this.
Brian Van Hooker is a senior feature writer at crack.com. We are going through the 100 funniest moments of Seinfeld, according to Mr. Van Hooker's research, and talking with some of the writers, actors, and all-time favorite fans. Mr. Hooker, give us a number here. Where are we going to go next?
Number 56.
56.
So when we did this list, originally I reached out to writers and actors for this. And then we were trying to figure out what are the gaps here. It's like, you know, who didn't get their due? And the Jerry's parents didn't get any moments. Nobody cited Jerry's parents, which is, I think it was just a matter of like, you know, people just picking scenes randomly. Right. So I was like, we need one at least for the two of them. They're such funny actors and funny characters. I think they're a little overshadowed by George's parents, who are funnier, but like Jerry's parents have so many great scenes. Mm-hmm. One of my Seinfeld super fans, a guy named Adam Crouch, who does Seinfeld episodes on Instagram, he picked a moment that I thought was perfect. Number 56 on our list is How Can Anyone Not Like You? And it's Jerry explaining why somebody doesn't like him. His mother says, how can anyone not like you? And she just doesn't understand how someone can not like her son. And eventually Jerry's father, played by Barney Martin, chimes in and says, I could see that. He doesn't understand. I mean, I just think like it's a great scene for both of them. Liz Sheridan's wonderful as Jerry's mother. Barney Martin's so funny as Jerry's father. Again, they're not the Costanzas, but they're really funny performers. who have lots of funny stuff in that.
Here it is from Seinfeld for the episode called The Wallet.
So what's the matter with this Davola guy?
He's got like a chemical imbalance. He needs to be on medication.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's after Jerry now.
Kramer.
He's what?
He's joking.
He's after you?
No.
Why is he after you?
Not after me.
Morty, do you hear this? Some crazy guy is after Jerry.
I'll make a few phone calls. Who are you going to call?
What are you worried about?
I want to know what you did to this guy that he's after you.
I didn't do anything.
Well, you must have done something.
No, he just doesn't like me.
Doesn't like you? How could anyone not like you?
No, it seems impossible.
Doesn't like you? How could that be?
Ma, I know this may be hard for you to understand, but I'm sure there are many people who do not like me.
Jerry, don't say that.
It's true.
No, it isn't. It's not true. You're a wonderful, wonderful boy. Everybody likes you. It's impossible not to like you. Impossible. Morty?
Maybe some people don't like him. I can see that.
That's a great scene there. Absolutely great. And I think sometimes Jerry, even though I laughed, you're right, harder at the Costanzas. Seinfelds to me were more like my actual grandparents.
Yeah, they were a little less cartoons, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're very funny. Marty Martin is such a God, that man is so funny at playing this sort of like clueless, but it's still quite real. They're really wonderful.
About 3 minutes left here, Brian Van Hooker. Where do you want to go next?
Let's jump ahead to number 8.
All right. Number 8, Infamous Soup Nazi, set it up.
I had Larry Thomas speak to that. I had a drag out of him what his favorite moment that he got to do was. He was very modest. Mm-hmm. And it was his scene with Elaine. And he said part of the reason why it stands out so much is because it was a retake. So during the shooting, she does this impression of Al Pacino, and immediately he kind of cuts her off and says, "No soup for you." And and it went well, but after the taping, Larry said, "Hold on, we're going to do a reshoot of that." And he had Larry Thomas bait her a little bit. Right. And he's like, "You know what?" And then, he cited that as his favorite because it was just, it was another scene where Julie Louis-Dreyfus was notorious for cracking up hysterically. So that's that one.
Here we go. A little scene from the Soup Nazi.
Hello.
You think you can get soup? Please, you're wasting everyone's time.
Wow. I don't want soup. I can make my own soup. 5 cups chopped porcini mushrooms, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 3 pounds celery.
That is my recipe for wild mushroom.
Yeah, that's right. I got them all. Cold cucumber, corn and crab chowder, mulligatawny.
Mulligatawny?
You're through the soup, Nazi. Back it up. No more soup for you.
That's from the end of the episode. I decided slightly the wrong moment, but same character.
Yeah, same character.
And Elaine and the Soup Nazi are wonderful together.
Yeah, I still use the next thing. All right, very quickly, number 1 on the list, Mr. Van Hooker.
This is the moment cited over and over again by several writers, and that is from the episode The Deal, which is a very good episode, where Elaine and Jerry are trying to arrange a friends with benefits situation, and it's just masterfully written, which is why I think so many people cited it. So.
Here it is, Friends with Benefits, Jerry and Elaine.
Well, you can't expect to just forget the past completely.
Oh, no, of course not.
I mean, it's something we did. Probably about, 25 times?
37.
Yeah, we pretty much know what we're doing in there.
The terrain.
No big surprises.
And we have to cut it off there, but I mean, I think all of us at some point in our life, can you really have a true friends with benefits? It never worked for me. I'm not sure. Appreciate you, Brian Van Hooker from crack.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Also, thanks to Matt Flynn. See you tomorrow. Keep banging your drum.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m., I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, only on Civic Media.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Baltimore Bridge Collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The search continues for six people.